Why is he getting a chair? Well, the reason is because someone sent me a present which I wasn't expecting, which I didn't open. And I know some of you know what this is, but a lot of you won't know what that is. That is a bag. A black bag, a round bag with a zip on it. And it's also got a little pouch here with something in it. And I've had this out before to see what it looked like. And it's one of these. And apparently, you have to hold it under your nose. No, I'm joking. That's the joking bit. This is known as a stick or a tipper, right? But I haven't opened this yet. Does anybody... Just put your hand up if you know what it is. Yeah, you do. One, two, three, four, five, six people. Three people don't know. Sonny, do you know what it is? Not really? Well, I'll tell you what it is, right? First of all, I'll ask Nola if she will just project the first slide on the sermon. This is what it is, apparently. I've not opened it, so I don't know what's inside. It's one of those. Now, of those people who don't know what that is, would you like to try and pronounce it? Jason, how would you pronounce that? Bodrain. Yeah, anybody who's not sure how to pronounce it? How about Sunny? That's really difficult, isn't it, for a Chinese lady? How would you have a go?
Bodrain.
Not bad, actually. Not bad, yeah. It's actually... Now, tell me, I'm English, right? In fact, I'm Yorkshire. So, I think I understand that it's pronounced Bowron. Am I right? Would an Irish lady like to pronounce it?
Bowron.
Bowron. Thank you. So, this is a Bowron. So, what's the use of a Bowron in a bag? No use at all, is it? It just makes me look like I'm a Bowron player. Doesn't it? But I've never actually played a Bowron, but I've looked it up on YouTube, because YouTube's amazing. You can learn anything on YouTube, right? So theoretically, I know exactly what to do because I've watched YouTube. And on YouTube, it says, get a chair, right, of the right height, so you can put both your feet on the floor like this, okay? And then you take the Bowron. This is the first time I've opened this, honestly. I've not seen inside. I don't know what's inside here. But I've learned from experience that it is actually a goat skin covered frame. Right. Oh, this actually, some of them don't have this on the inside and some do. Okay. And apparently you hold it on your knee and tuck it in there. Right, and you hold this, what do I call it, flipper, as if it was a pen, right? So you hold it like that, okay, and then you slide it up to the end, and then you start going up and down like that, right? So, but this hand is supposed to be across the back of this like that, right? Which is really hard to do, so... No, I'm doing it wrong, Nola. See, your thing is, I've got the theory, but I haven't got the practice because I've never done it before. Okay, so let's just have another go. I don't think you're supposed to hold that there, but I would imagine it you are. Have you? Oh, that sounds a bit more promising, doesn't it? And you're supposed to exercise this hand like this before you start to do it, so you don't actually do your wrist in, okay? So that should be enough, shouldn't it? And then you're up and down in time. And I think you can knock the end now and again as well. Flick it. Right, both ends. Not very musical, is it? I think, should I stick with the guitar? Anyway, the whole point of this is not the sermon, right? This is an illustration. An illustration is, what good is a Bowron in its case. Because I don't even know it had a handle for a start. And the guy who was teaching me on the YouTube said, you'll get different versions of how to play this. This is my version. And he said, you put your hand on the skin, the flat of your palm on the skin, not on the handle, on the skin. He said, you can put your hand through the handle and then you can alter the pitch of the drum. That's what Bowron means, drum. But then it doesn't resonate. Cup it. I think you could be in the worship group as the Bowron player. Have you done this? You can hear it starting to resonate now. Cup. No? Use the handle. That really resonates. Well, I'm getting there, aren't I? Getting there. Right, okay. That wasn't a pause for applause, by the way. But I think the illustration can be used for a short message on Christmas Day. And this is what I thought would be good to do. It's all about which version you listen to, isn't it? The guy was telling me to do it one way. Jason was telling me how he thought I should do it. Nola was telling me that none of those are right. No, sorry. There's another way of doing it. Cup your fingers, right? And we know how to pronounce the word now. But the same thing happens with God's word, doesn't it? Because some people think that there is only one Bible. It has to be translated in a particular way. And unless you can actually read and understand Hebrew and Greek, you're up to somebody else's interpretation anyway. So unless you've studied Hebrew and Greek, you're trusting that somebody has translated it into your language accurately, which is almost impossible when you're translating language to language. But there's other things to consider. And this is where I'm going to use some props. What do you think this is? This is Brown's Bible. This was given to me by some friends. It is, honestly. Can you see it?
Yes.
Brown's Bible. And it's big and it's really, really heavy. And it's got lots of pictures in it. See? Black and white pictures in pen. Picture there of Rebecca at the well, and at the front it says, this is Brown's self-interpreting Bible with numerous additional notes by Reverend Henry Cook, D.D., LL.D. It shows Moses restoring the tablets of the law, and it contains the Old and the New Testaments according to the Authorized Version, which is, I believe, the King James Version, isn't it? Or are they not quite the same? This is the Authorized Version by the Reverend John Brown. Okay? And it is gigantic, isn't it? So that's one Bible, which is really heavy. So that's one version. And then there's this one, which is a little bit smaller, and this is called the Pulpit Bible. And this Pulpit Bible used to be up there, because that's a pulpit. And this has got Joseph Parker, D.D. Is that Doctor of Divinity or something like that? And it's the gift of the late Charles H. Wilkinson of Cambridge. And it is printed by Hodder and Stoughton. And I can't tell what version this is. So you'd have to study it to find out what version it is. But it does start in Genesis. And it does finish in Revelation. Right at the end. The grace, the last words in the Bible. Who knows what the last word in the Bible is? The very last word. Amen. Actually, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Is the last few words in the Bible. So that's a bit smaller. And then there's another one, which is a bit smaller. A collect to be used before reading the Holy Scriptures. Translated out of the original tongues and with the former translations, diligently compared and revised by His Majesty's special command. This is King James Bible. King of Great Britain, France and Ireland, defender of the faith, etc. The translators of the Bible wish grace, mercy and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it starts in Genesis and it finishes in Revelation. So there's that one. And then there's a Pew Bible, which you've got there, which is a new international version. And I've got, and these are just a handful that I got hold of. There is the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. And then there's another one here, it's getting smaller. What's this one? This was donated by Faye Powell, who incidentally gifted that guitar to me. It was her husband's. New Translation Bible, published by Moorish. So getting smaller. In chronological order, the Daily Bible, New International Version, getting smaller, New Testament and Psalms, NIV, so that's not the Old Testament in there, getting smaller, the New Testament of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and Psalms translated out of the original Hebrew and Greek, and with the former translations diligently compared and revised by His Majesty's special command. And then you've got an amplified version, you've got a new century version, you've got the Holy Bible Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition version, you've got a Knox version. And then you get to the personal stuff. Now, I had one just like this, but I gave mine to somebody. But it looked as bad as that when I gave it to them. This is my wife's first Bible, I think. It's your first? Or first one that you used. And the difference is, of course, you can tell it's been hammered, hasn't it? Worked at. And this is the one that I carried in the Air Force in my uniform. That's the NIV. And there's also these versions. So if you don't like reading, you can listen. So what am I driving at here? What I'm driving at is, like the Bowron, in its case, absolutely useless. All you know is that there's something in the box. You know that there's a load of books on here. I know that you wouldn't carry this around the street unless you were a Bible thumper, hacker, basher. You might consider carrying one of these around. But carrying it around, having it on the front pew, in its box, etc., is useless. What you need to do is to wear it out. You really do need to wear it out. So that the word gets from the book into you. And that's the only way you're going to do it. Which version you choose will change over time. My first Bible was a Good News version. And when somebody told me, you shouldn't be reading that, I said, why? It's my Bible. This is my Bible. It's no good, that one. I said, why is it no good? And he said, because the Good News Bible has been dumbed down and they've taken the word blood out of it in several places. The word blood, especially when you talk about the blood of Jesus, is really important. So when I got over my anguish at being told my Bible was no longer worth reading, I started reading another version. And then after I'd been reading that for a while, somebody said, well, the NIV's got full of errors. It's got loads of errors in it compared to the King James. And there are some admissions and things like that. So I looked into that. And I thought, yeah, you're right. Actually, there are errors in translation in all of them. Do you know why that is? Because it was written in Hebrew and Greek. Now, that's not the point. What it was written in is not the point. The point is, open it. The point is, read it and get the truth of it into your heart. Because having all these books around is just clutter, isn't it, really? When you think about it, the office is full of them. Just sat there waiting for somebody to pick them up. And that, brothers and sisters, was today's message on Christmas Day 2022. Amen. Read it. So has anybody got anything that they'd like to share? I don't mean sweets. Oh, that would be okay. Yeah, we had sweets last Sunday, didn't we? Candy cane, in that case. Let's move on. This is a relatively recent... I don't know, it's not a carol, is it? What is it, a song? Is it a carol? Shall we do it? Yeah. Well, it's all about the virgin cried when Jesus was born. Tears of joy and tears of pain. As heaven's angels watched in wonder. How could you, the ancient one, referring to Jesus, be found in the frame of a man, lying there with feet and hands, fully God and yet fully man? And who could see and who could know you had left your kingdom's throne? Little baby crying in a manger. You had come to give your life as a holy sacrifice, and yet nails would pierce your feet and your hands for every heart and for every man.
To rescue us, and we thank you, Holy Lamb of God. And we thank you, Holy Lamb of God.
Well, time is marching on. It's 10 to 11, and I know you're dying to get back to do the things that people do on Christmas Day. But I received a challenge. And the challenge was, but I bet you don't, do Saviour's Day by Harry Webb. Who's Harry Webb? Cliff Richard. So this is it.
He is calling you, calling. On the Savior's Day.
And it's not ironic, but it's true that he's calling you. If you don't have faith, you can get faith. Faith comes from God. And what little faith we have, we can exercise by reading his word and seeking his face and seeking the truth and looking for answers to this strange world that we live in, where there are many, many questions and many versions of the answer. So Lord, we thank you that you are the truth, you are the way, you are the life, and there is only one name given to man by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. So we give you thanks this Christmas for keeping us safe, for giving us hope and a future. And Lord, we pray that you give us peace with each other as we share this holiday together. So let's close by receiving the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom, the peace that only comes from having Christ in your heart, having his word as your solid rock foundation, having a hope and a future which is not down to your performance, your wealth, your power, your intelligence, your situation, but down to who you are in Christ Jesus. A son or a daughter of God, where if you were to not live tomorrow, your future would be secure. So Father, we give you thanks for this special day. Bless you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And happy Christmas.